For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am excited to chat about this Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat the Indiana Pacers, final score 117-109. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. If you can, it'd be awesome if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show. If you're popping in here, would greatly appreciate that, especially a like and a subscribe on the YouTube video. That would be tremendous. Hope everybody is having a great day. A little bit delayed, obviously, on the recording, but having a grand old time regardless, and am excited to chat about today's festivities. A little bit late on the draw. Swipa is ill, and he was not able to make it today, but am still appreciative of everybody that's hopping in and enjoying the vibes. Thank you so much for hanging out today. What's up, Purity? I'm not even sure if I can say that. Dr. Van Nostrand, what is up? Really appreciate you guys hopping in the chat. A fun game, a fun win for the Nuggets as they take care of the Pacers. Sans Tyrese Haliburton, obviously, so that kind of changes how everything should be viewed, but still was nice, still was a good job by Denver to take care of business and get it done and do everything that they had to do. Dr. Van Nostrand says, Swipe got the Serbian flu like Embiid. Absolutely. That man was, he was so excited to not podcast today. No, I'm just kidding. He and I talked, he's doing all right. He will join for a midweek episode of the show, or maybe we'll do some midweek recordings and just YouTube videos on the side. And then Weekends with Swipa will be back to its scheduled programming for the upcoming weeks. Should have no problems there. But yeah, give Swipa all the crap that you can. He loves to give me crap. Give him all the crap that you can. That makes it a lot better for me. Again, I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn. Thanks for tuning into the show. Let's chat about the Nuggets. Let's chat about this awesome win that Denver just had. Here's the thing. Indiana may have been without Tyrese Haliburton, but they were still 9 of their last 10. 9 wins, 1 loss in their last 10 games. And they were playing a very impressive brand of basketball and a very well-rounded brand of basketball where even without Haliburton, you didn't really know who was going to step up to the table. You didn't know who was going to be the best player on the floor. And so a lot of Denver's normal cues, like who do you have KCP guard? Who do you have Peyton Watson guard off the bench? What's it going to look like if Nikola Jokic gets into foul trouble like he did tonight? A little bit weird. And I know that there was a lot of things that Denver kind of had to go through in order to prepare for this one. And obviously you have the Bruce Brown ring ceremony at the beginning of that. And you know, let's talk about that up front. Really fun to see Bruce Brown. Really cool to see him. He is he's going to be a Nuggets legend forever. And there's no doubt, like, that's never going to change based off of what the reception was that he got and just how everybody's sort of handling things and how this looks. He was great. He was a lot of fun. And he was having a ball, and Nuggets Nation was having a ball. Just rooting for him and celebrating in his success and celebrating his ring ceremony. That was a cool thing. It was a cool moment. I posted some stuff on my Twitter if you're interested in checking that out, as well as the post-game article that came out. I posted some stuff there. But yeah, just a lot of good vibes from this game and really up through opening tip. Like it felt very good to be in the building despite the fact that it was like 0 degrees for the most of it. But it was nice to see Bruce, and he played great. Had 18 points, 10 rebounds, including 5 offensive, 6 assists, 3 steals. Bruce was great. Doing a great Bruce Brown impression, I'll say that. So I know the Nuggets would love to have him back if they could get him. So it was interesting to hear Michael Malone talk about him pregame. He didn't want to say, like, toughness or anything like that, but he definitely said that they missed his versatility, that they missed his defense, and I totally agree. So basically, the way that Denver has kind of approached this year with Reggie Jackson and Peyton Watson and Christian Brown is they've tried to divvy up Bruce's responsibilities among 3 separate bench players, and it's taken 3 separate guys in order to recreate it. But what Bruce did with having his skills and all 3, like, those important skills that he had, he's able to fill in a bunch of different gaps on Denver's roster last year. Stuff that you're kind of seeing come to the forefront now and throughout the year. And just having one guy be able to be the person that you go to, that you trust in those situations, it really does help. So Denver's going to miss Bruce, and I think that's very, very clear based off of the reaction that he got from the fan base as well. But either way, good feelings throughout, good vibes throughout. Denver played a pretty good game in this one, and they were probably going to win this going away if not for some weird fouls, if not for some weird calls. Evan Scott, one of the younger officials on the scene over the course of these last couple of years, he had himself a night. Michael Malone nearly tore him a new one in this one. DeAndre Jordan was ejected for arguing some calls for him. There were some calls made by Rodney Mott and some other pretty awful calls that sort of went against Denver that Michael Malone had to use both challenges that he had, and like, he won the first one and then he used it again and won the second one. So very rare that you see Michael Malone challenge something twice, but he ultimately did, and it was interesting to see what happened. But this was a game that was a fun, good vibes, positive game, kind of marred by some of the weird foul calls and some turnovers for Denver. But for the vast majority of it, the Nuggets played great. Just absolutely great. You can definitely say... that is an interesting line that somebody put into the chat here. Dr. Van Nostrand has added again. Definitely bet Pacers plus 10.5, and the Pacers only lost by 8. So you know that they know that there's something there, but I don't know. If you question the integrity of the officials, then you're an op, apparently. So interesting to see, or at least Scott Foster would eject you for doing so. If you know. But yeah, really, really impressive performance by the Nuggets all the way around, despite the fact that there were some odd calls and fouls and some bad decisions and things like that. Denver had 22 turnovers as a team for 20 Pacers points. Michael Malone was not happy about that. But, I mean, like, Jokic had 7 turnovers. He was kind of throwing the ball over the place. Murray was throwing the ball over the place, too. If those two just cut down on their turnovers, then it's a little bit different. But Reggie Jackson having 3 turnovers is pretty abnormal, so I'm not really going to question that much. And then DeAndre Jordan in 7 minutes just can't have 4 fouls and 2 turnovers. It's not good enough, and I know that he was upset about the calls, and maybe there were 50-50 calls that just went against him both times. But he's still got to be better, just plain and simple. So, but either way, the starters were great. The starters were great in this one outside of the turnovers. Even on the defensive end, I thought that they were pretty good. Michael Porter, 1 steal and 2 blocks. He had 25 points on the night. We'll get to him more extensively in the second segment. But Jokic, 12 of 13, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. That is a Sombor double for the big fella. Missing just 1 shot. He also missed a free throw. But just a really, really impressive performance there. And then Jamal Murray staggering with the second unit. Plus minus doesn't really reflect it, but I thought that he had a pretty good game. And there were a couple of moments here or there that he kind of let up off the gas a little bit. For the vast majority of the process that he had and the decisions that he made, very good. Very, very good stuff. And it's very clear that Denver starters in this one were just rock solid, clearly doing pretty well throughout this one and knowing exactly how they had to approach the Pacers game. Michael Malone, before the game even started, I asked him what scares him, not really what scares him most, but like how he would approach guarding this defense. And he basically said that he told the team that they're first in field goal percentage, fast break points, assists per game, points per game, fast break points per game, points off turnovers, points of the paint. He says they're first in every single category imaginable, basically. And Denver, I thought their defense handled that pretty well. Just looking at the percentages here, Indiana shot 46, 27, 68, and they committed 13 turnovers. The only thing that really kind of kept them in the game in this one was their offensive rebounding, Denver's defensive rebounding. And yet, I'm not super concerned about that because Denver grabbed 36 defensive rebounds and the Pacers had 14 offensive rebounds. So that's not that crazy of a disparity, in my opinion. It was worse in the first half, and then Denver cleaned it up a little bit in the second half. I think there were 10 offensive rebounds in the first half and 4 in the second. So they worked on it. They cleaned it up. They did what they had to do. And when you're at the tail end of a homestand or right before a road trip, sometimes those can really mess with guys, or not mess with them, but like they're thinking ahead to some of these other situations that they've got coming up. So wouldn't have surprised me in the slightest if they had overlooked Indiana. So the fact that they got this done, and they did it relatively calmly. This wasn't a crazy win. This wasn't a, but this game was never really in doubt either. Like, I felt very good about Denver's chances in this one because of the way that the starters were playing, because of the efficiency that they played with. And it was just very clear that Denver was the better team. Rob says it best, I think. The turnovers and offensive glass kept this from being a 30-point blowout, which, yeah, that's a thing. But it's also like Indiana does a good job of turning teams over. They play the passing lanes pretty well. Miles Turner, Jalen Smith, they are good shot-blocking kind of bigs that are going to get guys to sort of question whether they want to go up with certain shots and whether they want to make certain passes or not. And then TJ McConnell's just a pest, and they've got a lot of guys like that. So, like, look, Indiana's a good team. And the fact that Denver handled them the way that they did, pretty, pretty impressive. So that's really the gist of it, and that's all that really should be taken. When we come back, I'll have a couple other words on the bench, as well as just thoughts on Michael Porter's accomplishment and what Nikola Jokic's shooting streak looks like right now. It has been a pretty, pretty impressive streak. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, who have a direct line to Las Vegas for the sports gambling name. And now you can use their promo code, MILEHIGH. You can score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter that promo code MILEHIGH, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. If you can, it'd be awesome if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show down below. That would help us out tremendously, of course. All right. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the comments here. People talk about the Clippers-T-Wolves game. We're talking about the 10th Kings and Bucks. Looks like it's going to overtime. Man, some interesting results finishing up right now. So everybody's, your job is in the comments is to keep me appraised of the situation if anything changes. Okay, no, it looks like T-Wolves just won that game and they went final. So Clippers are dropping to 25-14. That gets Denver a little bit of distance between them. And honestly, that's not the worst thing in the world. I think Nuggets fans should be okay if the T-Wolves win, if they have the first seed in the West. I don't think they're going to, but the best time for Denver to try to catch them if they want to is in their head-to-head matchups. So Denver saves up for those, waits for those, then that'll be just fine. They'll be okay. Paul George goes 5 of 19 in that game. Anthony Edwards, 33 points. Lots of good stuff from the T-Wolves. They're a good team. They really are. Both of those teams, I think, are pretty impressive. Okay. Let's chat about the bench really quickly before I get to MPJ and Joker. DJ got ejected. That is what it is. I still think that Denver could use another big. Like, they just can. There's no doubt in my mind that, like, if Denver had a more athletic version of what DJ gives them, then their bench unit would be better. Whether that was a Nick Richards or De'Ron Sharp or whoever, yada, yada, yada. I've gone over the names before. But those names would be helpful. They would be good. They would be pretty positive for a group like Denver's. And Zeke is not getting off the bench right now. DJ got ejected and only played 7 minutes. The only reason that Jokic didn't play like 40 minutes tonight was because he got into foul trouble himself. So Aaron Gordon had to go to be the second unit center or the replacement center in some of those lineups. And it's going to be fascinating to see how often Denver goes to that. But Gordon, when he really turns it up, is really, really good at that center spot. So I just think that Denver could benefit from having another option. And because I just don't think that they are really going to end up trusting DJ or Zeke. Like, that's just, it would be shocking to me. Christian Brown continues to struggle a little bit. Not his best performance. Let me just go back to the box where I decided, you know, let's click on this game and try to find it. Okay. Christian Brown, 1 of 5 from the field, 2 points, a couple rebounds, nothing else really in the box score. He kind of floated. He missed a couple free throws, missed a 3-point that it kicked out at the end of the quarter. Actually, no, he drove that ball. Like, here's the thing with Christian. Like, he's been throwing a lot of grenades to teams lately, or to teammates lately. And it's something that I don't fully notice until you start to see the patterns of the season. And now we're at game 41 of the season, and I'm starting to see this pattern. Too often when Christian tries to explore his game a little bit, he gets caught in the middle of the lane or just outside of it, gets bottled up off the dribble, pivots, doesn't really find anything, and then throws the ball out to the perimeter or to the nearest teammate that's open. And it's fine if that happens with 12 seconds left on the shot clock. But if it happens with 4 seconds left on the shot clock and then he pitches the ball out to Jamal Murray at 35 feet away from the basket and says, hey, here, Jamal, create something. That's just not good enough. Like, Christian's just got to go up and shoot the ball. He cannot be afraid to take a 10-footer or to take a contested 6-foot shot or something like that. He has to be willing to take those as a 6'6", 6'7 guard who is, more often than not, taller than the guy that he's going up against, especially when they put their, let's say it's in a lineup where they decide to put their best player on Jamal Murray, for example, their best defensive player. Usually that player is going to be bigger. Christian Brown's going to benefit from a different matchup. If he's got this matchup and he's got a guy across from him that's like 6'4", there's no reason why he should be passing out a ball when he gets into the lane. Like, he's got to be able to take and make those shots. That's just part of the game. It's part of developing and being the best version of himself that he can. And I'm trying to figure out whether this is something that I should be worried about, or if this is something that, like, he's just not going to have to worry about it in the playoffs because that's just never going to happen. That's never going to be his role. It would just be nice. He has to stop hesitating. He's got to be more definitive because it actually, like, it's killing other guys' field goal percentage when he kicks it out to them with 4 seconds left, when he turns what was a kind of a mediocre shot into a poor possession. So he's got to be willing to take those and create them more effectively anyway. And then Peyton Watson didn't really have a guy that he could guard tonight. I thought he did a nice job on TJ McConnell. McConnell went 2 of 9. And I think one of those was against P-Watt, one of those shots that were made, but it was a pretty impressive shot, so not really going to question it. And then they forced a couple turnovers and were very physical against McConnell and did a really good job against him, in my opinion. But TJ was still +8 in this game. He led all Pacers in plus minus, probably because he shared the floor with Obi Toppin. And Obi Toppin had, he went 3 of 3 from 3. So sometimes it just happens like that. But yeah, that's just it's just those guys in particular. Now we got to go back to Michael Porter. Michael Malone was very complimentary of Michael Porter in this game. And to be clear, it was a great game for Michael Porter. 25 points in 37 minutes, 9 of 15 from the field, 7 of 11 from 3. Didn't have any free throws, but that was okay. 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Filled up the box score and did everything that he could. Plus 13 from the field and wasn't leading the team in plus minus. That was actually Aaron Gordon. But Porter was great. This was a really, really good game for him. And a lot of guys looked for him. Jamal Murray found him. Nikola Jokic found him. KCP found him on the swing passes. There was just a lot of opportunities for Porter to get up shots, and he did not hesitate. 7 of 11 from 3 is a ton of threes to get up, and he had the rhythm tonight for sure. And there was one that he missed where it was clearly because, the reason why he missed the shot was because he was being bothered by physically, and then they just didn't call a landing space foul where the guy was clearly underneath him when he was shooting. So, I'm giving him 28 points. I think that he should have definitely had 3 free throws, or actually, no, it would have been 27 because he's not the perfect free throw shooter, but still, a great performance from Porter. And more than anything, the thing that I continue to respect about him the most is that he's just out there. And Malone made mention of this today, and I'm not sure if it was just because, hey, it's game 41 of the season, you're starting to see, hey, this is where you kind of assess yourself at the midseason. Porter is the only guy on the team, I believe, that has not missed a game. He's the only guy. Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown have also played every game. So credit to those guys too. Just being available is very, very important. But with Porter, it's more surprising. With Porter, the role that he plays, he's a 30-minute per game kind of guy. He averages, on the season, he's averaged 31 minutes per game, but tonight he played 37. So he's just in those clear starter minutes, playing every single night. He's second on the Nuggets in minutes behind only Jokic, and just continues to be a steady presence. He's not going to be an all-star, I don't think. Clearly not this year, but I don't know if he's ever going to be an all-star. I don't know if he's ever going to be that kind of guy, but he said something fascinating today that the thing he's most proud of is just being out there. It's good games happen, bad games happen. He's less concerned about those things and just playing games. He's just happy being out there and playing the game that he loves. And that is romantic in a lot of ways. And Mike to me seems like a guy who would be romantic about basketball. But he is clearly valuing that and valuing the experience that he's having right now. And that's just so awesome because this was a guy that had basketball ripped away from him for multiple stretches for a long time. And for him to be able to kind of get back out there and be the player the Nuggets need him to be night in and night out is really, really impressive. I mean, how many guys, I remember this actually with Sean Livingston back in the day when he was playing for the Golden State Warriors. I don't know if it was during the 2015 run or 2016 run or whatever, but I remember a year where Livingston was the only guy who played the entire season for Golden State, which was crazy given that Livingston, one of the most famous, the things he's most famous for is the gruesome knee injury that he sustained that kind of just tore everything in his leg. And he worked his way back for the Warriors at that time and became an icon in the Bay Area. So for Mike, it's kind of in the same light where 3 back surgeries, Michael Malone credited him over and over again for having this back brace that he has to deal with every single time and just trying to be out there all the time, trying to make it consistent. And he just continues to do it every single time. So he may not be like the talent, like not like he does have the talent, but he may not have the impact that a Jokic does or even a Murray does. But he is still just a clear part of this Nuggets culture and a part of this Nuggets makeup and somebody that the team can be really proud of for the way that he has embraced his role, embraced being good and being steady. And he's been one of the steadiest players the Nuggets have had. It's been really cool. Finally, I need to go find this tweet that Bronco Squatch had, or somebody had. I don't remember. Shane Young had it. If you're not following Shane Young at Young NBA, you should definitely follow them. He says, Nikola Jokic is 85 of 105 from the field in his last 9 games. It is the first time in NBA history that a player has shot 80% or better in a 9-game span with at least 100 attempts. Pretty good. Now, somebody in the comments said that Will Chamberlain did this. We'll see. Like, I'm not sure whether he actually did it. I have to go check that, but still pretty crazy. Still a pretty crazy stat. Nobody else is doing this, what Jokic has done. 12 of 13 tonight. And he hit some floaters. He hit some jump shots. He hit some bank shots. Hit some off-legged stuff. Some interesting layups. And like he's just never dunking. Actually, well, you know, he did dunk at least once, I'm pretty sure. But if I go to the shot chart for Nikola Jokic, he does make it easier on himself by just taking shots from inside the paint. But this was one where he did not feel the need to take really any jumpers. The only shot that he missed was the shot outside the paint, a Sombor double or Sombor shuffle late in the shot clock. So credit to him. Like he just continues to put some distance between himself and that weird stretch that already, he didn't really make anything. And now he is up to over 65% true shooting on the year, which is higher than Joel Embiid, higher than a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, higher than a lot of guys. And it just feels like he is hitting his stride once again. So playing his best basketball and doing it at the right time. Denver needs him on this trip. They need him to be the best version of himself. So we'll see if he can. All right, let's go to a commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about mid-season stock watch for the team, as well as the upcoming road trip. Should be fun. But first, this message from Scout DeHuff.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back at it, pickaxe and roll. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button if you're new. Really appreciate it, obviously. All right, mid-season stock watch for the team. What's going on? Where's the team at? How are you really getting through this? As I mentioned, Jokic is shooting efficiency is back up to where it's supposed to be for the kind of player that he is, the kind of player that he has proved himself to be over and over. So credit to him for being able to do that. But yeah, Jokic at 65% true shooting. KCP's at 60. Michael Porter's at 60. Jamal Murray's at 58.7. Aaron Gordon's at 59.8. So Denver's entire starting lineup is above efficiency true shooting wise. It's one of the reasons why the starters are so good. It almost feels like Murray should be even higher. Almost feels like Aaron Gordon should be even higher. Part of that is free throw related for AG specifically, but Porter's efficiency has been great. KCP's efficiency has been really good. And Denver just continues to roll on the offensive end of the floor. There's nothing that's really going to, like, some of their stuff, if I go to the summary for cleaning the glass, and I do this for the alley-oop, by the way, so if you're interested, go check out the alley-oop where I do a lot of these check-ins with all these other teams so you get to see what's going on around the league. But Denver, 6th in point differential, 7th in offense, 10th in defense. They are one of, it looks like, 5 teams that are in the top 10 in each category. Minnesota's actually not in the top 10. Their offense still leaves a little bit to be desired, though their defense is far and away the best defense in the league. Minnesota's 108.7 defensive rating. Philly is actually 2nd at 112. So interesting that offense is just running rampant through the league right now, and it's very hard to stop it. But Denver has been very, very good. They aren't perfect, and they never will be. The bench continues to be something that I monitor, that I'm going to try to figure out. I've talked about the big man spots. I think that there's some developing that Christian Brown and Peyton Watson still have to do. I wonder when Julian Strother gets back, because if he gets back a little bit sooner, then that would be, it would give Denver some options on this road trip at least, though I'm not necessarily sure that you want to throw him into the deep end there. Wouldn't surprise me if they go with Justin Holiday and be like, hey, we need somebody who's a more veteran option, because there are going to be times where Peyton Watson kind of struggles, times where Christian Brown kind of struggles, and rather than go to Julian Strother if he gets healthy, wouldn't surprise me if Justin Holiday gets some run. So look out for that on this road trip. But if I'm kind of giving like the midseason, I called it a census at the at Ball Arena today. It's not really a census. What it is, it's just a check-in. Like, how is Denver doing? I think they're pretty good. Jamal Murray said he thinks that they're doing pretty well. Michael Porter said he thinks that they're doing pretty well. And I think that if you talk to Michael Malone, he'd say that they're doing pretty well too. There are fireworks outside my window, so sorry if you're hearing that on the mic. It's extremely annoying. I hope they're fireworks, for being honest. But yeah, I think Denver's in a pretty good spot. The shooting efficiency for the starters is good. They seem to be locked in, about as locked in as they've ever been. And that's not going to really change, I don't think. Like, there's no reason for them to really kind of shift anything up like that. So I'm curious, is their lineup, if I go to totals, is there any lineup that is more positive than Denver's? Okay, well, I'm on Denver's lineup right now, so let's try to open that up a little bit. That is, okay, this is it's definitely ruining. Okay, so Denver has the lineup that has the highest plus minus in the league so far. Now, Philly has a great lineup themselves, and that they probably have the best lineup in the game right now from a efficiency standpoint. And Maxey, Melton, Batum, Harrison, and Embiid, that's a great group themselves. But I like Denver's group. Denver's group's had to go through tougher matchups. They haven't been able to bone up on. Now, they have faced teams like Charlotte and Washington. They haven't faced Washington, but they faced Detroit. Faced a lot of these teams that aren't great. But still is impressive the way that they've been going. They've been going pretty well, and they've been carrying a pretty heavy burden. So good on them for doing so. I still think that Denver needs, they don't need it, but it would be nice if they could get something a little bit extra just to kind of get them through either the rest of the regular season with their bench, or for them to have another option that they can go to in the front court in the playoffs. I think they're good in the back court. They'll be just fine there. But in the front court, like, it's really just Jokic, Porter, Gordon, and Peyton Watson that I trust right now. And that's not enough, in my opinion. I think they need somebody else that they can go to. All right, final thing here. The upcoming road trip. Denver plays 5 very important road games here. These are some pretty narrative-defining games, I would say. at Philly on Tuesday, at Boston on Friday. I believe they play at Washington on Sunday. Then they play at Indiana and at New York next week. Those are going to be some pretty big ones. The Washington one is a nice reprieve, but I believe that Denver's going to the White House on that Saturday. I'll have to check in with somebody there, but I think that that's what's on the schedule. They'll go to the White House and they'll go talk to the president of the nation and the I guess I don't know if they've gotten an invite, and like I'll just have to check in on that, obviously, but that'll be, if that's the downtime that Denver's having and they have to play Philly, Boston, Indiana, and New York, like that's a pretty tough stretch. Just looking at the standings here, I'm just hit the refresh button. Boston is first, Philly's third, Indiana's down to sixth, they're tied for fifth, and New York is tied for fifth as well. So it is, like, it's a tough stretch. They're playing all playoff teams except for Washington, and that is the only reprieve that they have. It's going to be a tough one. I don't know what Denver's going to do. I don't know how they're going to play. I think 3-2 would be a nice road trip. 2-3, it's subpar, but it's not like out of the out of like question that they go negative on this road trip. But I think if they went 3-2, you get the Washington game, you get one of the Philly or Boston games, and then you get one of Indiana or New York, that'd be great. Now, if they go 0-2 in Philly and in Boston, it puts a lot of pressure on them in order for making the rest of the road trip possible. We will see just how it happens. Dame hit a game winner, Dr. Van Nostrand says. Bucks have a 15-game winning streak against Sacramento. Dame hit a three at the buzzer to win it. Darn. Sacramento's, they have not had a kind outcome for them. It's been pretty tough to be Sacramento lately. It feels like they've had a lot of things go against them. But interesting to see. just a pretty frustrating one if you are Sacramento. But Milwaukee continues to roll. They continue to be under the radar in terms of how good they are. And Dame kind of gives them a late-game option that they can trust, obviously. But yeah, five-game road trip for Denver is going to be fascinating. I'm curious to see how they handle it, whether they see Joel Embiid on Tuesday, whether they get the best version of Boston on Friday. That could be a finals preview for sure. And what happens for the rest of that road trip will be very interesting. I think it'll be pretty dependent on what happens in the first two games. Like if Denver goes 2-0, then they have the license to lose the next three games and be fine. They'll be okay. Now, losing to Washington would be bad, so maybe you could still try to go 3-2 there, but like, look, it's hard to beat Indiana for a second time in a row when you just played them about a week ago, basically. And then they're playing New York, who's... like, Denver hasn't had a good time against New York with Jalen Brunson there. So that could be a tough matchup for sure. But if I'm Denver, I'm trying to go 3-2 or better on this road trip because that would really, really... it would define some good things, for sure. Dr. Van Nostrand asks, we thinking Embiid is playing or no? I don't know. Like, he is questionable against the Houston Rockets tomorrow. I doubt that he plays on the second night of a back-to-back, even though it is both at home. So I'm curious. I'm just as curious as everybody else is. That back-to-back, by the way, Houston-Philly is going to be at 1 p.m., or 3 p.m. local time, I think. So he'd have more than 24 hours in order to recover, in order to get ready for that. But I don't think he's going to do it anyway. I think he'll probably play against Houston and then sit against Denver. That would be my guess. So we'll see. We'll see how he plays. We'll see how he fares and what it looks like. But if we get Jokic versus Embiid, y'all better bring your war paint because that is going to be a crazy one. That's going to be a fun one, and I'm looking forward to it for sure. I know the Philly fans will be going to war too. There'll be a right here, got to tie it up in the back and really go to war. It's that's going to be a fun one. So we'll see what happens, but I think that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. I'll be back. No podcast tomorrow night. I will probably podcast immediately after the Philly game, because why wouldn't I? Especially if it's a big game. We'll see what happens there, but I'm really looking forward to it. And then Swipe and I will do a mid-week podcast as well. So you'll have no shortage of content for me. Thanks, Dr. Van Nostrand, for hanging out. Really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.